Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. The show is brought to you by our generous patrons at patreon.com/falloutlorecast.
Robots Radio presents
the Fallout Lorecast.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, a place for the Fallout community to come together to explore the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Vault Dwellers, Wastelanders, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I am here with our patrons this week because it is the patron show for November 2021. Welcome, patrons. And I'm going to go through the list. We have three of our patrons this week. Joining us this time is Lil Green. Lil Green is back. Welcome, Lil Green. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good.
Good to have you. I'm glad you're wrapping up some of your photos. We talked a little about this in the pre-show. You're wrapping up some work, getting ready for some vacation time. Joining us on the show this week. You ready for vacation?
Oh, yes. I'm very ready. It's been a long time in planning.
That's good.
So, plus, it's the most happiest place in the world.
The happiest place in the world. Nuka Cola.
Yes.
Nuka World.
Nuka World.
There you go. Well, you're coming to our version of Nuka World, which is...
Yeah, I'm going down to Disney.
Down to Disney. So, dude, you're coming to my neck of the woods. I hope you enjoy it and have a fun time. I hope the weather's nice for you down here. Chances are it's going to be beautiful. You're going to have, like, highs in the 70s at the most.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's going to be, glorious.
Being a ginger and so pale-skinned, the sun and me do not mix.
Yeah, well, it might still be bright out. You might actually still need to wear, like, sun lotion of some sort, but it's going to be nice and cool, at least.
Duly noted.
Without being like super cold. So I think you're going to enjoy it. And then we also have Eric joining us again. Eric, welcome back. How are you doing?
Fantastic, actually.
Well, that's amazing. That's great. And for the first time, we have Kit Calavera joining us. Welcome back. Or not welcome back. Welcome for the first time. We were talking a few minutes before, so it feels like we've already met and we've been talking for a little bit. But welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here. Yeah, I was here the whole time. No one has noticed.
it's a secret. You've been like hiding in the secret corners of our Discord chat and Zoom meetings somehow.
I mean, I'm everywhere at this point. But yeah, thanks for having me here.
Yeah, thanks for supporting the show and for joining us live. This is always exciting for me to meet new people and talk with you guys for these episodes. And this episode, we're continuing our what ifs, because that's the theme that we've been doing lately. And I've got kind of a doozy for you guys, because I've been dreaming up some of these episodes, and if you listen to last week's episode with my wife, we were coming up with some really silly ones, but I've got some what I think are really good mind-bendy ones, and the one for this week that I wanted to bring you guys in on, because I think this is one that we can all chew on. It's any good what if is something that can take you lots of different places. It starts to tip over some dominoes, and then those dominoes tip over other dominoes, and they can take you into some other really interesting directions as you start to play out things in your mind. And this one has to do with Fallout 4. And the premise here is, what if the Institute was actually helping the Commonwealth? And let me expand on that a little bit. The Institute thinks they're helping the Commonwealth, right? But what if they were actually forthright and honest? What if they weren't sneaking around or stealing things or replacing people? What if there weren't all these rumors about synths replacing humans? What if they weren't, you know, shooting people and stealing their babies, you know, like these kinds of things? What if they were actually morally upstanding, a good organization from the beginning, and doing things in a very open and forward, like above the ground kind of method, in order to help the Commonwealth? How would that make things play out differently in Fallout 4? So that's where we're starting here. And of course, with any good what if, this can go in many different directions, and it creates other what ifs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, does that mean that this would happen, or does it mean that this would happen? So I'm going to let this kind of start and we're just going to see where this goes. So who would like to take this and run with it to begin with?
I guess I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it, Lil.
So the way I did a little thinking about it, and I just think like it would be a completely different, if we could go on by the like, game base, but also just like a different Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. Because like you have the technology to build an underground base that is pretty much totally futuristic and have the resources for a teleporter. Like you wouldn't have the glowing sea. I feel like even like everything would be clean, pristine again. Like, so it's just something that like there wouldn't be a Fallout 4 in my eyes, because you wouldn't have any radiation. You might not even have super mutants. You might have raiders, but like everything would be probably rebuilt.
Because so you're thinking long term future, that like they would have taken their technology, distributed it, like put it forward and cleaned everything up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about like the entire United States, but at least the area of the Commonwealth definitely would have been like rebuilt and affected, but maybe like slowly creeping across the United States to rebuild. But it's just like also that resource drought that the game and the universe has, is that still there and an issue? That's right. The only like, I think, stopping factor.
Okay, well, let's take this step by step. So what is the first step in making that actually happen? How do the dominoes fall that create a better Commonwealth where they can clean up the radiation, get rid of this super mutant problem? Like, they, you're right, they have a lot of scientific ability, they have a lot of technology, they have a lot of knowledge. What are the steps that they take to make this actually happen?
I think square one is just building basic infrastructure, just making sure people have places to live, and like, you know, your medical treatment for anybody that needs it, clean running water, mm-hmm. stable electricity, and just the basics of society yet again. Mm-hmm. So
does that start with like getting in touch with like the cities?
Yeah, it's just getting...
So Diamond City. They reach out to Diamond City and they say...
Yeah, Diamond City. Let's just say they start out with Diamond City and they, you know, spruce that up to make it more of a, like, instead of, like, being ramshacked, like, apartments, being, like, actually, like, a structure built off of the stadium. And then just starting from there and just, like, going out in, like, our radius and, like, just redoing everything.
Mm-hmm. This is great. This is a wonderful conversation. So how does that work? When somebody comes in, like a human, like TIE Fighter in chat says, humanitarian efforts. So when somebody comes in with a lot more ability to do these things and they say, hey, we want to step in and we want to just give you a lot of help, there are complications that come with that, right?
Yes, there is, because it's also who gets it, how much, mm-hmm. and also who's in charge.
Right.
Because if it's the Institute just giving everything, who's in charge of them? So is the Institute going to be in charge? Because they do have all the power and they have all the technology and the resources, but do they still have that leadership, the good leadership? But I feel like the Institute could just become like the new government in a sense, if they're just willing to be like, okay, here's everything. Cause then it's going to be like, you know, it's like, everyone else will be in debt in a sense. Right.
Do you think that everybody would be willing to give up their freedom for the provided benefits? I mean, in a sense, you almost have a Rome situation. You have a technologically advanced organization coming into a situation where people are in need of infrastructure, they're in need of governance, they're in need of technology. This is like Rome showing up and saying, we're going to build you bathhouses and aqueducts, and we're going to bring you a working economy and a military to help protect you. Uh-huh. But you're going to have to pay our taxes and you're going to have to follow our laws. And it seems to me, and this is an interesting idea, right? Like, it seems to me that you're going to have a lot of people who are going to go,
yes.
Yeah, life sucks pretty much. If you're going to bring some military in here, protect us from the super mutants, give us some clean water and some actual like working electricity, then yeah, I'm down with that. That I'll follow your laws. That sounds great. But you're also going to have those people. And I mean, this is America, right? You're going to have people who are going to say, hell no, I'm going to make it on my own. I'm not following your laws. I want the freedom to do what I want to do. And I'm just going to make it on my own. Screw you guys. And there's no easy way, at least in my mind, to solve that divide, because you're always going to have some people who are fall on one side of that and some people who fall on the other. So does that in the long term create a divide between these two groups that in some ways creates more friction? Do you think that's solvable?
I feel like, yes, that's always going to happen. There's always going to be some sort of power struggle or even a power vacuum and someone just wanting to be in charge. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if we're saying the Institute is just like 100% for the people, like there's no reason for people to be against them. Yes, at first, because they're gonna be like, oh, who are you to take over my land, my building, whatever, like peace, wherever you're living, mm-hmm. and like tell me to follow suit. But like, if there's no downsides to it, you're getting the protection. Yes, you might be having to pay some sort of tax in a day and age that's, you know, is using caps. Sure. But like, sure. It's just like, What is the negative of it?
Right.
And if we're saying, you know, Institute good, I don't see a negative in it.
Right. Well, you're being 100% rational here, right?
I'm being rational.
You're being 100% rational.
Irrational situation.
Right. Where there are a lot of emotional, a lot of people are going to be very emotional about this. So. Let's open this up to the other guys. Eric, Kit, do you have any thoughts on this? Do you think that this would actually work? Or do you think that there would be some struggles here? Like, how do you bring everybody on board with this kind of idea?
I was thinking that there would be a mistrustful element amongst the populace, because even if people bring positive changes, there's always someone going, what's the catch? And kind of, well, I mean, we see people doing that nowadays too.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, this seems too easy. What are they really, what's their goal here? What do they really want from us?
They would be able to set up better defenses, but there would also be the threats of external conflicts coming from outside, such as exterior sources of super mutants or when the Brotherhood shows up, because that would be a conflict.
Right. Yeah. So okay, let's open it up to that. So let's say we have a scenario where the Institute comes in and they get a majority. Let's say they even do it democratically. Let's say they show up and they say, hey, guys, we're here to help out. We've been working on our own for a long time. We've solved some of the issues that we know are out here in the world. And we've been doing this in a way that we want to bring about help to the Commonwealth. We have some technological advances we want to share with you guys. Here are our terms. And they say, well, we need to think about it. And they say, well, tell you what, why don't you guys vote on it? You as a community vote. Here are our terms. This is what we want, but this is the help that we will give you. And whatever those terms are, the community votes on it. And a majority says, no, we're down with it. We're cool with it. We want to work with you. We'll go by your terms, right? And let's just take it that far. And so the community says, okay, we'll work with you. The Institute comes in, they send in their scientists, their engineers. They bring in some of their military, some of their synths to help guard the borders. They bring in some infrastructure. They start cleaning up the water. They start, you know, building up the, and so now you have, let's just go with Diamond City. You have a Diamond City that's now cleaned up and is technologically more advanced. And in comes the Brotherhood. And they fly over Diamond City. And they see a technologically advanced Diamond City. What does the Brotherhood think?
Mine.
Right. Yeah. Because the Brotherhood thinks, who are these guys? They don't know what they're doing with that technology. We're the ones who should be guarding this technology for the future. And all of a sudden, now you have another power struggle on your hands. What happens then? Kid, what do you think? What do you think would happen here?
Start placing bets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, start placing bets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, yeah, Brotherhood's all about, you know, taking technology away from like the common man and the wasteland and all, especially with, you know, with Max. He's a little bit power hungry. I don't know the right word for that.
Yeah, no, that's
something along the lines.
That sounds accurate. Yeah.
He seems a little more aggressive towards, you know, the wasteland more than anything else. But once they see, you know, Diamond City becoming more technologically advanced, they'll probably send in the troops and say, you know, hey, what's going on and all that. Probably trying to see who's in charge, who brought all this technology and all that.
Yeah, and then you have the element of the synths. Once the Brotherhood finds out that a lot of the security and individuals who are potentially working the farmlands and the security on, you know, around Diamond City are synths, aren't actually even real humans. The Brotherhood under Maxon in that situation isn't going to be fans of that either.
No, I could just see lasers and bullets flying once they figure that out, because as Maxon said, they're kind of abominations towards the human race.
Right.
And then you have another situation with the railroad too, once they figure that out.
Yeah.
So let's say if they have like Gen 3 synths, and now they're trying to help them out, thinking, you know, slavery's wrong and all that.
Yeah. So that's the other thing, is even if the Institute isn't necessarily replacing people in the Commonwealth the way that they were in Fallout 4, that still doesn't mean that they don't have AI among them that are emergent AI that find themselves to be persons and people among, you know, of their own volition, people who are self-aware and are coming to their own sense of self and want to be freed of the situation they're in, who feel like they're in bondage, who feel like they should be able to make their own decisions and don't want to be enslaved anymore. That's a big theme in Fallout 4. Are these synths who feel like they're actually individuals? And that's where the railroad comes in. So now you have a Diamond City that's almost wholly dependent on the technology of the Institute. And then you also have Gen 3 synths who were designed by the Institute, who still have this issue with wanting to be free from the bondage of the Institute. So you still have an issue with the railroad.
Yeah, you have like two groups trying to take down the Institute, you know, one for technology and the other one trying to, you know, quote unquote, free these synths.
So TIE Fighter in chat says, if the Institute is above board, they would confront that issue. No, that's a good question. Do you think that an above board Institute, an Institute run by a leadership that's more likely trying to be morally upstanding, would actually address this as a legitimate issue? Like, for example, their lead engineers and scientists come to whoever the leader of the Institute is in the situation, and they go, we've found some anomalies among the AI that claim that they are now self-aware and they want to be let go. They want to be freed. And what would you have us do? Do you think they would set up some tests, the ability to try to determine if these are actually self-aware, that they've designed technology that is so far advanced that they've now created AI that are almost indistinguishable from human intelligence?
I seriously think the synths might be a different situation, just because they're not trying to infiltrate anymore. Yes, I don't deny they would use the synths in general, but maybe they'll make them very distinguishable between, you know, a human and a synth, so that, you know, it's not something that's very confusing. And maybe, like, say, going back to I'm trying to think of a good example. I can't think of the name. Like iRobot. Mm-hmm. Like you have like the brand new ones that look very much like a human, and then you have the previous generation that looks human-like, just so you can kind of like associate with it, mm-hmm. but can still do all the tasks that you need. So like have that AI, but differentiate them from a human enough so that you can be like, oh yeah, that's not a human. Yes, they might have AI, but it's controlled in some way. So like, yeah, you can send them all to a farm, do all the farming, and then come back, and then it's just, there's no sentience, and is that, I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but there's no sentience to them saying like, hey, this could be a person. No, it's not, it's a robot.
Do you think that the differentiation of their outward appearance would keep them from developing sentience?
I don't think it would stop it, but it would give people like humans, a distinction of it. It's like, yes, you might be able to like form feelings, memories, and all this other stuff, but like, it's just, it's all code. It's all, you know, it's just manufactured in like, and by computers, by, you know, it's just, it's not true. It's like, it's just a way to differentiate like, hey, a human from a synth. So
It would just help the human side of the equation.
Yes. More, and right. When it comes to the railroad, I don't think they'd need to be a thing, because the synths are not being used as tools as a bad thing. Honestly, they wouldn't be in this situation. They wouldn't be used as a tool to infiltrate people, or like need to be taken away from like the Institute itself.
Right. Right.
So, and going back to the Brotherhood, they just become the enemy.
They just,
honestly, that's
you think that they just have no justification in this?
They have
situation?
No justification. Like, you see an organization trying to rebuild a destroyed country, and you're going to come in and say, no, that's ours. No, you're a dictator.
Yeah, right. Right. You don't have the right to do that. You in don't, this situation.
Like, it's just like, right. Why are you taking away something that's changing and making the world better? Just because you think we can't handle it? No, we're handling it. They could be handling it fine enough to be running and sustaining life. But no, you just become a dictator, and you're just creating more issues.
Right. Especially in this situation, with the Institute having designed their own technology. This exactly. wasn't pre-war technology that the Diamond City found and repurposed, which is typically the Brotherhood's mantra. This is technology that was developed over 200 years by the Institute. And they're the people who know how to use it. So in that situation, I think you're right. The Brotherhood has no say over this technology. It is a very different kind of thing. So I think you're very right about that. Going back to the AI thing, I think it's an interesting topic. We actually just talked about a very similar topic on the Cyberpunk Lorecast, because one of the things we're doing on that show is we're going through a list of cyberpunk movies with our patrons. And we just discussed Ghost in the Shell, the original 1995 anime. Have you guys seen that movie?
I have not.
So one of the concepts in this movie is that there is an AI that developed sentience, or claims to have developed sentience, and it did so on the internet. It didn't do so with a body. It was code that emerged in the net, and it calls itself the Taskmaster. And it did so without a body, and it was looking for a body to merge with in order to continue to evolve itself. And in a similar way, you could have sentient AI from the Institute evolve even without the body, and or with a body that doesn't, that still looks like a Gen 1 synth, but yet the mind of that AI is sentient. And so from the human perspective, it doesn't necessarily feel like a person, but from the AI's perspective, it thinks it's a person.
I think that's kind of like what I was trying to touch on with my explanation of it. But like, yeah, like looks not human, but everything else that goes on, if it does that, you know, if it's able to form feelings, attachments, memories, everything that comes with being, you know, like a human, I think that still can be possible. Mm-hmm. But you know, there would still be a very distinct distinction between the two,
right? So, right. Well, here I want to give Eric and Kit a chance to chime in here too. But yeah, yes. Absolutely, and that's why I wanted to touch on that, because I think that's kind of where you're going with it. Eric, Kit, you guys have any thoughts on any of this stuff we touch on here? Either one of you.
I was thinking that they would. If they were going with the morally upright thing as they devote to sentience, they would probably just have them choose what they felt like doing.
Allow them choice.
If it's a thinking machine that can make its own decisions, it would develop preferences.
Right. Right. So if it said, well, I want to choose. Okay. Well, what's your choice? Well, I'm happy staying here working. Then you can stay here and work. Great. Or I want to leave and pick my own destiny. Well, then,
I mean, okay. Some would theoretically choose to defend the region just because of the fact that it may decide there's a justification for service towards others.
Right. And I think this is also an interesting thing, too. One of the concepts with AI and the development of AI is that oftentimes, if given the choice, one of the theories is things will choose naturally the things that they already know how to do, the things that they were designed to do, because those things will be most comfortable. So an AI that has been already taught how to, say, farm, if given the choice, will probably end up choosing still to farm, because that's what it knows. It may just want to be able to choose that rather than to be able to have to be told to do it. And there may be a distinction simply in being given the freedom of choice. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. It's the difference between, like, how many of us have gone on to further education, whether that's college or trade skills or those kinds of things? But there's a big difference between being in high school and being told, well, you have to go to school, you have to go to class, and being like, oh, I don't want to go to school. But then when you get to a point in your life where you're like, well, no, this is the thing I want to do, and then you end up working towards it and paying for it, and then you look forward to doing it. There's like, yeah. Simply because you made the choice, all of a sudden you actually like it and you want to go do it. But it's still learning. Uh-huh. It's still education. But simply because you made the choice, you want to go do it. It's that little switch in your head that just gets flipped.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I follow along with that.
So, some thoughts there. Yeah. Kit, do you have any thoughts on any of this?
I mean, yeah, you know, just letting the sense choose their own path, you know, like, what was it? Like, Paladin Dance. Well, okay, well, spoilers first. On an old game,
sure.
Paladin Dance went.
It is a lore cast.
When it became, yeah. Well, you know, people still get mad, but anyways,
yeah.
Became, you know, one with the Brotherhood. Then you have Magnolia, who's like a singer, and now, you know, the eye candy of the Third Veil. And then you meet a raider called Gabriel, who got, you know, who met up with the Railroad? Railroad, and then became a raider. Yeah, basically, like, different walks of life. You know, one of them became a soldier, one of them became a singer, then one of them also became a raider. So it's all really, like, just let them choose what they want to do with their freedom, regardless if it's, like, going to be a negative or a positive outcome, because no one is out there to choose, you know, who you're going to be at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I have to wonder how the citizens of Diamond City would feel about that, because they are distinct from the Institute in this situation. Hmm. You know, how do they feel when their farmers and their the soldiers guarding their walls decide that they want to get up and do something different?
That is actually a good question. I think that is where an issue between citizens and the Institute, or even just the Institute in general, will surface, because would the Institute want their resources just to be like, hey, I don't want to be a part of this city, I want to go?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd be very willing to be like, oh yeah, sure, you could go leave and, like, you know, like, leave us with less manpower or and just be like willing to give up whatever it takes to make a synth.
So, yeah, and the cost of it. I mean, each synth individually probably costs the equivalent of millions of dollars.
Yeah. So, and it's just one of those things of, like, I feel like if synths are, like, you know, like, the synths might still have some aspect of control from, or, like, the Institute will have some aspect of control over the synths, because they, it's just one of, it's, I feel like they'd be more of a tool, honestly. So, yes, they might be able to interact with humans, but, like, they still have that little bit of control, because it's like, why would you want to give something the choice to leave?
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
So maybe if when we really look at it, maybe synths won't be synths. They might just be straight up very advanced robots.
Or maybe they designed the technology to limit the development of the AI, to roadblock it at a certain point where it stops developing.
Yeah. So I guess that's one way to look at it, because, like, there's, because if the way it seems like the synths in Fallout 4 as they are now, they're meant as weapons of war in a sense, because like they're they know how to infiltrate, they know how to like, they have tactics, they have everything that they need, but they still know they have a goal, and like they're told that goal. So, but then you get like the Valentine, and then you have Paladin Dance and everybody, you know, like the people that are meant to be like humans, but like they don't know. It's just like it's just a line of like, I don't think they need that if they're being above board.
Right. Well, and TIE Fighter asked the question, ethics, are we still not assuming they're good guys? And you don't have to raise the question of, are you making an ethical distinction if you don't develop the technology to the point where synths become sentient to begin with? Like, I'm not developing the technology so that my toaster develops a sense of self. There's no ethical dilemma there, right?
You have the New Vegas toaster.
Right. Yeah. Like my computer I'm sitting at right now is not developing a sense of self. I'm not actively programming it in a way where it will. Right. There's no dilemma in the fact that I'm not actively developing it in a way that it will. Uh-huh. So the fact that I'm choosing not to is not an ethical dilemma. It could simply choose not to. Right. So that could be that they could still be above board. They could still be just choose to develop robotics that do a process just like manufacturing a car or cupcakes, you know, like whatever, and just have advanced robotics that do a thing, just like a Protectron or a Mr. Handy.
Less killing Assaultrons.
right. And just go with that without actually developing synths.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. That's a cool way of looking at it. Well, guys, we need to take a break and thank you guys, our patrons. And before we get to that break, I want you thinking about the next question that we're going to come to, because at the beginning of Fallout 4, there is a dilemma. There is something that happens that is initiated by the Institute. And of course, spoilers, but of course, it's also a lore cast. There is a murder that happens, the murder of your spouse and the kidnapping of your child. And all of this is initiated by the Institute. So how would that change in the scenario? And how would that change what the main character does, what your character does in the game, if the scenario were to play out? So I want you thinking about that, and we'll be right back.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
Do you love the Mass Effect series? And are you looking to learn even more about Mass Effect? The things that you didn't even know that you didn't know? Well, this is your host, Tom, or Robots, and me and my co-host, N7 Legend, do a show called The Mass Effect Lorecast. It is available on whatever podcatcher you're listening to this right now. We also do it live on twitch.tv/robotsradio, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific on Sunday nights. So go look it up right now, The Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to have you join us. All right, this is the part of the show where I get to thank our patrons. So these guys and everyone else who takes the time and the finances to support the show, thank you so much to all of you guys. This is what helps make this a full-time dream career for me, and I really do appreciate it. And also, thank you to Kit Calavera, who's on the show right now, for being our new patron. Welcome aboard. Thanks for being here. And thank you to all of our patrons, especially our Liberty Pie Man. Pie Man, I was hoping was going to make it to the show tonight. Looks like things got a little bit busy for you, but you might still pop in. Sometimes you join us by the end of the show. And also to Southern Rage and Stagger and Stumble, our Sentry Bots, and all of our 54 patrons. Thank you for being here. You guys are amazing. And as always, if we've done anything to help you get through your workday, your workout, your drive to work, or picking out the perfect Christmas tree, because if you're listening to, you know, a podcast while you pick out your perfect Christmas tree, and we went Christmas tree shopping just a few days ago, we found a Christmas tree that fits right next to our TV in our living room. And I was convinced that my wife had like this crazy idea that she was going to fit one in there and it was going to be too big. And then we found a skinny tree, and it's like a 5 foot tall skinny tree, and it fits. And so I had to eat crow. I was like, okay, that one will fit. We'll get it. We'll get one. We'll stick it right there and it'll be fine. And then we got a little one, put it on the table also. So we got two Christmas trees this year. You know, tall skinny one. Well, kind of sort of tall, skinny one. Anyway, but if you listen to podcasts while picking out Christmas trees or whatever you're doing for the holiday season, then go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Check out all the different tiers. And man, there's all sorts of fun stuff in there. You can get t-shirts. You can join us on future episodes of the show, or you could just simply get ad-free episodes and help support the show. And I would really appreciate it. And so thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are awesome. And we don't have any new reviews or anything like that to read out today. But if you also want to help us out, sharing this podcast with a friend or spending the time to go to Apple Podcasts, even if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, and leave us a rating and review would help a ton, because people read those and it lets them know what the show is all about. Especially if you're somebody who's still listening, like almost 200 episodes in, because we're getting really close to almost 200 episodes, because we got a lot of people leaving reviews on the early episodes. But if you're still listening and one of our current listeners and want to let people know, hey, the show's still good, that would be really helpful. So, you know, taking the time to do that would be really, really appreciated. But yeah, that's what we got going on. So thank you to all of our patrons. Let's get back to the rest of the show. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, guys. So the beginning of the game, you get your kid taken away and your spouse killed. But what if that didn't happen? Or would it happen, but in a different way or by somebody else? Like, what do you think would happen here?
Personally, I don't think it'd be an issue. But I kind of like, I'm just looking at the chat, TIE Fighter. Mm-hmm. I kind of do like the way, you know, just as a story, I like how that is. But like, if we're just saying like, you know, the Institute in general is just like above board from square one, I don't think the killing or the stealing of your son and the killing of your spouse is going to be an issue, because like, I like, there's no need to break into the vault and take them. So actually, you as a character might not even see the Commonwealth unless someone breaks in and just releases you properly. That's the other thing.
Right.
So that's my look at on it, is just like, it's either your character just doesn't get released and the vault just stays, everyone stays cryogenically frozen until the vault just kind of falls apart naturally.
Do you think that you just wouldn't have ever been unfrozen?
I don't think so. Well, because like there wouldn't be a reason to find leadership. Mm-hmm. So unless the Institute knew about it and was like, okay, maybe we should, you know, release these people. They've been frozen for, you know, how long?
Yeah.
So it's more of an ethical thing of releasing you instead of like, hey, we need to find leadership, which is kind of a weird place to find it in my eyes, but right. Still.
Well, they were looking for somebody who had pre-war genetics, like somebody who wasn't post-war, like
non-irradiated.
Right, non-irradiated is what they were looking for, right? So what if they were still looking for somebody who was non-irradiated? They go into the vault and they wake you up and your family comes out. But they don't murder anybody. They don't steal anybody.
But you're welcomed.
Right, you wake up. There's a squad from the Institute that wakes you up. You get uncryogenically frozen. You're like, oh, you're waking up from, you know, you're going through the whole cryogenic like wake up thing where you're like, oh my God, I feel like I've been asleep for 200 years because you freaking have. And and there's a group of the Institute right there. And they're like, hello, we're from the future. we need your genes. Come with us. Where does it go from there? Oh yeah. Well, also we need specifically your child more than you guys. But yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those. I just feel like it would be, yeah, pretty much everything fine. It's just like, hey, like we need your genetics. We need someone that's untainted by radiation.
Yeah.
We need your son.
Yeah.
But you can come back and, you know, like live in pretty much creature comforts past, like that's even past of like what your previous life was.
Okay, so, like, so let's pause it here. How would each of you respond to this? Like you yourself in this situation, you wake up 200 years into the future, the cryogenic stuff is like opens up and the only people who come out from it is you and your spouse and your child. So for some reason, the rest of the vault has doesn't work right. It's malfunctioned. Like your chambers are the only ones that worked, right? You come out, some scientists are there, And they're like, hey, we unfroze you. You're lucky we did, because nobody else even remembered that you were here. Also, we have an agenda, right? Otherwise, you would have been stuck here forever.
Yeah.
And we specifically need your child because you guys are pre-war. It's 200 years in the future. So please come with us.
I mean,
what would you do?
Oh,
and by the way, it's still a hellscape out here. There's lots of radiation. There's gigantic mutant monsters, including super mutants and death claws. The Brotherhood's trying to kill us and steal our technology. And everyone's living basically in squalor. But we're trying to fix that because we're the good guys. You can trust us. Believe me, you can trust us.
I mean, I would go hesitantly, being like, hey, I just woke up after a 200-year slumber. I'm going to have to take you at your word, but also, I'd have to go because I'm in a weird situation.
Then they're like, okay, here, step over here. We're going to teleport you to our secret base.
There you go. It's just seeing teleportation. I'm like, they might be telling the truth because what it's 200 years in the future, that long ago, it's like, we didn't have teleportation.
So you would be cool with it. You would be like, you look at your wife, right? And your child, and you'd be like, cool.
What's the worst that could happen? Because they say there's also a wasteland that you'd have to contend with if you don't come with us.
So you wouldn't be like, well, let me just go peek outside to see what's going on out here.
So I'd be like, yeah, no, I'll go with you, and then show me later.
Okay, so you'd be on board with them. You'd be like, okay, let me go with. Okay, so let's move on to Eric. Eric, what would you do in this situation?
I hate to say I'd be on board with it too. I'd want to play with the future tech and tinker around.
Yeah, and remember, you don't know anything about Fallout in this scenario. You don't know anything about the post-apocalyptic world. All you know is you watched a bomb go off as you descended into a vault, and in your mind, the world above is just it's just blown apart, and you just last thing you remember is you got frozen, and you come out, and there's these people standing here telling you these crazy stories about a world 200 years in the future. And so, and I'm not trying to dissuade you. I'm just painting the picture. And you would just say, show me your magical teleportation land.
I would still end up going with them simply because of the fact that nuclear bomb went off. Likelihood of people surviving is not all that high. These people are clearly healthy. So they're doing something correct and they weren't dirty. So they're not surviving hard.
Yeah, they would look pretty clean because they would have gotten, well, relatively clean, I would assume. Yeah. Okay. So you would say, yes, take me to your leader.
Though I also would then be going through everything I could for information because I would want to know where I stand. To get where I could make informed decisions.
That makes sense. Okay. Kid, what do you think? What would you do?
Well, I mean, you've been frozen for like 200 years and like all of a sudden you got like these sketchy looking people telling you like, hey, you know, you kind of need your child for genetics and all that. And plus the world has gone to crap. And I'll probably just tell them like, maybe give me a minute or two just to think what's going on here. And, you know, after they tell me what's going on and all that, I'll probably just tell them, you know, hey, prove it to me, you know, prove me that you're not going to backstab me or do some weird testing on me or my family. And if they just zap me back to their base, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll trust you for now, at least.
What could they do to prove to you that they are trustworthy?
I don't know. I mean, like, I guess like, show me what their whole plan is. I mean, like, clearly, like, they're much cleaner than the rest of the wastelanders out there. So
would you have them take you around and like show you some locations?
More or less like their base of operations, like telling me like, you know, this is who we are, this is what we're doing. We kind of need your child for this. And if they tell me it's like not painful or anything, I'll just say, all right, here you go.
How do you have them prove to you what year it is? Like, because for all you know, you could have just been frozen for a year. and these people are from some weird faction, and they've, you know, maybe they have some advanced technology you've never heard of. You know, maybe they're the Chinese playing some military trick on you with some stealth technology. Like, you don't know,
right?
Like, how do you have them prove to you that it's actually 200 years in the future?
I mean, show me a copy of The Elder Scrolls 6, I guess.
There you go. That's it.
Here you go, buddy. Here's the 6th installment. I'm like, all right, I believe you. No. I mean, I think teleportation is already enough. It's like, I mean, assuming there wasn't teleportation back before the bombs dropped.
But you may not have known that there was. Maybe there was, and you just didn't know it. You know,
like, yeah, that's true.
You didn't know all the technology that was there. Yeah. There was secretive government stuff. I mean, you technically, if you were the male character, you served in the military. You probably came across some technology in the military you didn't know existed until you served. You know, there. Who knows?
I mean, if they just show me a death claw, and it's like, oh, okay. Well,
this didn't exist before I got in the vault.
No, this does not exist. I don't remember seeing like a dinosaur outside of my lawn before, but.
Yeah,
or even a super mutant. It's like, okay, we have the Hulk, and then we have a dinosaur in the future. Uh-huh. I call me crazy, but at that point, I was just like, all right, I believe you. This is 200 years later.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking if they were to like take me through Boston and show me some historic locations that look like they've been weathered for 200 years. And the cityscape and how much has changed over 200 years with like the buildings falling apart and people rebuilding on top of like multiple layers of things, that would give me a sense of age. And maybe I may not know 200 years has passed, but you can definitely tell, like, if you've traveled at all, you can kind of tell when like something's been around for 100, 200 years, it looks pretty old.
Right,
like old buildings, old structures. So to go to a historic location that you knew what it looked like, something you were familiar with having lived in the Boston area, and then see it again and be like, okay, yeah, this definitely has weathered considerably compared to the last time I was here. This has been much more than a year since, you know, I've been to this location. I think that might give me a sense of time passing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially maybe if someone is confused baseball for a gladiatorial death fight or something.
Yeah, the conversations with people. The way they use language. That could even be a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, the best way to solve this, talk to a ghoul.
Yes.
Find a ghoul, talk to a ghoul.
Yeah.
So, because then they'd be able to tell you, like, yeah, it's been that long. So, and also, just looking at them, it's just like there's no way someone would put themselves through this to like prove a situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
right,
yeah, you're kind of right there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma. Okay, so let's take this another step further. The Institute has convinced you. They seem to be above board, right? They're pretty legit. They're going to treat your family well. They want to use, you know, the data that they've collected, the genetics and things from your family, specifically your child, for good reasons, for whatever their scientific goals are, to help better the wasteland and help people survive, including your family. And then what do you do? You are allowed to go about your lives. You don't necessarily have this, like, agenda the way you do at the beginning of Fallout 4, you know, find your son, deal with the situation that you're presented with in the same way, right? You just have this like deal with the world situation. And in this scenario, like, this is your choice. This is Lil Green's choice. This is Eric's choice. This is Kid's choice. Like, where do you go from this point on?
Just hunker down at that point.
You just build a family, like build a life for yourself. Like, you build a family, you have a family, but you build like a home.
Yeah, just reset again. Just, you know, 200 years later, it's like, okay, I lost basically everything except for the family.
Do you start farming? Do you fall back on your military background because that's the character that you are in the game? Do you start working for the Institute? Do you start you know, like, what do you think you guys would do specifically?
I would want help with the rebuilding.
You'd start working with the rebuilding. You'd probably go to Diamond City and get your hands dirty, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I've done contracting work off and on for years, and like welding metal structures together is fun.
Yeah. Okay. So you'd start in with that. You'd use the technology and your knowledge to do the work with the rebuilding effort.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay. Okay. What about Kit? What do you think?
Trying to think here, because I don't have much skills, but we'll just say that
you could learn something. Like the world is open to you. The Institute has a wealth of knowledge. The Commonwealth has a wealth of knowledge about how to survive in this situation. You could mentor underneath somebody and start learning a new path.
I guess you're right. Oh God.
Also, the Brotherhood is trying to steal all your stuff. The Railroad might be trying to free the synths if there's synths around. There's super mutants trying to shoot everybody and raiders out there. Like, there's a lot of things that need doing. So
yeah, at that point I would just be a guard then if I need to defend, you know, the settlement. You just give me a railway rifle and just tell me who to point it at and I'll be set for until I take a bullet.
I mean, that's a real need. There would definitely be a need for people to do that. How do you feel you would stand up to, say, a wandering band of super mutants? Like, if you saw a 12-foot tall super mutant running at the front gate going, "Let me in! Me take all your Brahmin meat! Hungry!" You know, like, how would you feel about that with your railway rifle? Do you think you'd be able to be like, "I got this"? Or would you be like, you know, dropping a deuce in your pants? Like, which one of those? Where on the spectrum would you be?
I think in that specific situation, if it's the first time, I'd be like, "What the heck?" And then, you know, be able to like be like, "Okay, this is some sort of threat." Say like I'm out wandering, exploring the wasteland, and that was to happen. Yeah, I'd shit my pants.
Yeah, right. Like,
because like I don't have like that barrier of the fence. It's like, okay, he has something to get through before he gets to me, and mm-hmm. I have, you know, I'm armed. No matter what, like if I'm don't have that gate, even if I'm armed with like the strongest weapon you could give me, I'm gonna crap my pants.
Yeah, that dude pounding on the gate is going to shake the entire wall. Like, you're going to feel it.
Yeah, but, you know, if I'm at Diamond City, there's more than just me there. So
yeah, the other guards on the wall are all going to start shooting at him, too. Absolutely. Yeah,
they're just going to sigh and, you know, like, take the pot shots you need to take them down. But then it'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, those
guys. I have
someone
there to be like, this is a thing you have to worry about.
Yeah, aim for the head. Try to keep them from actually reaching the wall.
And if you see one with a glowing red light, kill him first.
Yeah, kill him first. Yeah, Kit, what do you think? How would you respond?
I guess I would have to bite the bullet there. Just, you know, point and shoot. Like how Green mentioned, there's more than me. There's more guards out there. Just point the gun at the guy that's glowing and you'll be fine. But that'll change once the Brotherhood starts knocking, you know? If they want to invade it right after. You know, at that point, I'll just, you know, turn around and just say, "Oh, well, they won."
Yeah, that's a lot smarter of a threat. That's a lot more coordinated.
More smarter than a bunch of, like, you know, muscle and no brain compared to, like, ironclad soldiers.
Absolutely. Yeah, so... All right, Lil, what do you think? Where would you go?
I think I'd stick to my laurels as a military person and either do defense or try and maybe like expand the borders a little bit. Be like, all right, going around to like the other smaller settlements and be like, "Hey, we're this organization. We're trying to rebuild. Do you want to join us?" And then, but so just trying to spread the message and be on board. Defensive and protection side of things, I guess, because like it's something I already know how to do. I don't want to learn how to do something else, so why not do what I'm good at?
Interesting. You know, as a photographer, you could probably still do some of that. I wonder, would you document things visually?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all right, if I'm doing my... If it was me personally, yes, yeah. I would probably say, like, hey, is there any way I could use my skills as a photographer? Because, like, there's a lot you could, like, document and, like, keep track of and just try and use it as a visual tool to be like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, like, just because, like, you know, like, it's a lot of people in the wasteland are probably uneducated. They're not going to be able to, like, understand things. So using visual tools is the best thing you could do. Honestly, so
yeah, a lot of documenting things visually using pictures could be very helpful to people, especially people who have a hard time getting places because it's dangerous, you know, like being like reconnaissance, even like using photography for reconnaissance reasons could be very useful. Yeah, interesting stuff, guys. Well, we're getting to the end of the show. This has been a really cool conversation because these kinds of things always go places where you don't always know where they're going to go until you kind of talk it all out. And it's neat to have all our minds thinking about this because it really fleshes things out. I'm sure that the more I do this, that this is kind of what it's like being in the design meetings for these games before they actually get into the actual development of the games. This is like the early meetings where they're thinking about, like, here's the setting, here are some of the characters, here are some of the factions, here's potentially what the storyline is going to be like, this is maybe where things go, you know. And so we're kind of doing what might be some of that early design work in a sense. Do you guys feel like maybe that's kind of what happens?
No, I mean, yeah. I could see it being a thing because, like, it's just all the stuff that happens in the games. Like, you do need to brainstorm it, so you can't just be like one person like talking about it. You need to have a group discussion to be like, well, what if this happens? And like, you get three different answers. It's like, okay, what's the best one?
Yeah.
Or if people think of the same thing, it's like, okay, maybe that's like a good path to go down, or maybe it's not.
Right. Right. Because somebody else can say, well, what about this? Or somebody else brings up, well, what would the Brotherhood do in this situation? You're like, oh yeah, the Brotherhood. Or, you know, like, it's really cool because you get the collective brain thing going on, which is so
those
fun.
Three answers become different paths for the quest.
Exactly.
Yeah. Three different ways to solve the thing because three different people came up with different variations. It's so cool, guys. So thank you for joining me for this episode. This has been a lot of fun.
I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. So I hope you guys come back next month and do this again. And anybody else who wants to join us next month, remember that you can always sign up. Or if you are currently a tier 4 or higher patron, you can always join us as well. And guys, we're going to wrap this up by going back through, and feel free to share ways that people can get a hold of you, but also things that you're working on. If there's anything else that you're doing that you want to share that people can kind of check out, if you're creating content or something else that's going on. And we'll go back through with everybody. So Lil, is there anything going on or ways people can reach out?
I really don't have anything personally going on because of the holidays, but you could reach out to me on Discord. Just make sure, if you want to reach out and talk to me, just ping me. I'll get to it eventually. I check Discord every so often throughout the day. But if you want to see, you know, check out any of my photography, you can look me up on Instagram. That's the best way, at @littlegreen_photography.
Awesome.
And you can see my work that I put out every so often.
Yeah, and feel free to share that on the Discord too, and the whole
promote
your
stuff.
Yeah, and we've got a whole promote yourself section, so I'd love to see your art on there. All anybody right. else who wants to do art too, we had somebody one of the people who jumps in my morning streams draw my character from Skyrim, and they did a sketch of her name's Spider. She's sneaky stabby, and Vio, one of our friends in our community. But yeah, I would love to see your art. I love whenever anybody makes stuff. So please share that on the Discord. I want to see your stuff. It especially people who are talented at things that I'm not. I really appreciate that stuff. So please share it. Thank you for joining us, Eric. How can people reach you? And is there anything going on?
Mostly on check the Discord occasionally because I'm almost always working, but I'm on there under Eric Strange. Aside from that, between holidays and work, all my side stuff is cornered for the moment. But trying to get back into artwork and writing and developing tabletop games.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining again. And then Kit, thank you for joining us. Is there anything going on, and how can people reach you?
Well, I'm always on the Discord, always lurking or sometimes posting. You can, you know, contact me anytime you want. I have no life at all. But I'm just working on trying to get some uploads going on my own channel, trying to provide more content for the 76 community. That's not just news and all that.
Awesome. Awesome. What's your channel?
Same Kit Calavera, 09. So awesome. KALAVER09.
Awesome. Yeah, go check that out. And guys, thank you for joining me. Everybody, you know where to reach my stuff and all the different shows on the network. So all the Robots Radio shows, all the Rocket Club shows. We've got that continues to grow. So if you're looking to start your own podcast and you want to join the network, be associated with the network and be part of our mentor program, there's the Robots Radio Rocket Club. We meet every week. You can check all that stuff out at robotsradio.net. And if you're interested in starting your own podcast, but you're not ready to sign up for something like the Rocket Club, but you still want to learn a bunch of stuff, there's the video game podcasting book I put out. It's available at robotsradio.net/book. I took all the knowledge that's in my head, everything I've learned over 20 years of working on stuff, and put it into a book. And it's all there for you so that you don't have to take 20 years to learn everything and make all the mistakes I made to get your podcast kicked off so that maybe you can turn that into a career as well. So you can go check that out. And I'm creating a bunch of videos on the Robots Radio YouTube channel, so you can always go there as well, or join me for the morning streams where I've been playing Skyrim and modding the crap out of it. Everybody says that Skyrim doesn't work for mods with Anniversary Edition because it broke up a lot of stuff, but that's not completely true because I am modding it to look like a next-gen game with the mods that do work, and I'm going to have a new video up on that very soon, but I've been playing in the mornings and we've been having a blast. So come join us in the community, hanging out in the mornings on the Robots Radio YouTube channel, and other than that, we'll see you next week for another Fallout Lorecast, and so stay safe in the wasteland, and until next time, maybe be above board and just help the wasteland get better so that everybody can live happier. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we lived in a world where everybody just, like, you know, worked together so that maybe we could all have nice things and be happy? And man, that would be awesome.
But anyway,
we can dream. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. All right, we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Also, look up the Robots Radio YouTube for videos about Fallout and other things. And check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/robotsradio.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
My name is Brian Burton. It's been 26 years since the bombs fell. And since I've left the vault, I've been trying to rebuild. But this isn't the Appalachia that I remember. There's so much more to everything going on. And I promise to find the answer. So if you're out there, if you're listening, just hone in on these coordinates. Remember, there's a place for you at the end. Omega.
The Omega Broadcast Fallout Story is available on iTunes, Spotify, and many great podcasting sources.
Looking for an RPG podcast that isn't just D&D?
Roll to Cast is the answer!
No, wait, sorry. What games have we played so far?
Well, we've done Cyberpunk 2020.
What does it mean to have a voice?
And there's going
to
be something big coming, Chumba.
Hey, if you're listening, I won. I beat you. You suck.
There was a time when we were slamming things against our phones and...
Vampire the Masquerade.
Chloe? Sam?
You can't use those words!
He's going to grab Vincent, press him against the wall.
I'm mesmerizing.
This is Adelaide's Anarch movement.
First out of your chair, your hand goes to your gun and you draw.
Pulp Cthulhu.
Told you I had it.
Oh, we've all got the creeps going. I love it so much.
All right, there.
Screechy child.
My favorite daughter.
Maybe after what we just seen, we're feeling a bit trigger happy.
And the new Cyberpunk Red.
Babe, you're good,
but better.
Thought maybe you might be able to give me a counter off.
Dos Fidania.
Straight through his neck.
I don't see bone either, but I'm not gonna look.
My leg's fine.
I always knew you wanted to fly, kid. Come find me.
Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
A new game every season.
Original music.
Original stories. Interviews with the creators.
And delightful Aussie accents.
Listen to us on all good podcatchers.
You can support us on Patreon for bonus content.
That's Roll to Cast.
R-O-L-E.
Come discover a new world.